Stay tuned for Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.
And from Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to pick up in midstream, beginning with verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Years ago, I wish I still had it, but years ago I saw a cartoon that I've never forgotten. The cartoon shows a group of church members sitting around a table drinking coffee, and they're talking about their expectations for their pastor. One of the gentlemen says, "We want our pastor to be able to preach and teach, to marry and bury, and counsel and visit. We want him to administrate and facilitate and coordinate. But above all else, we want our pastor able to scrape the pigeon droppings off the church steeple." Now, the point of that cartoon is that the pastor is often viewed as the paid professional, the hired gun, to do the ministry in the church. And of course, we know there's plenty of ministry. There's a whole lot of work for pastors to do. But according to Scripture, as we will see today, it is not just the pastors, the hired help, who are to do the ministry. Rather, every single Christian is spiritually gifted by the Lord to serve. Every member of the body of Christ, not just the pastor and the paid staff, every Christian from the youngest to the oldest should be in ministry. Now, does that surprise you? Look again at our text from Ephesians and notice, first of all, the reason why the Lord gives pastors and teachers to the church. And by the way, in Ephesians 4:11, the two words, pastors and teachers, they share a single definite article in the Greek language. Now, all that means, they're probably one and the same person. We talk about the fivefold office of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The truth is, the pastor and the teacher is probably the same person that Paul had in mind. And notice the apostle Paul says that the pastor teacher is sent by the Lord to prepare God's people, to prepare God's people for works of service. That's point one in your sermon notes, by the way, if you're taking notes. The pastors have been sent by Jesus to prepare God's people for works of service. That means Sonny and I are not here to do your work for you. We have been given to you by the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, to prepare you for works of service. Now think of yourselves as the Jacksonville Jaguars. Each one of you is a player on the team. Now, some of you are running backs. Some of you are defensive or offensive linemen, a little larger than the rest of us. Some of you are defensive players, but all of us have a coach. And the Lord sends coaches to the team. Sonny and I are the coaches. We are here to get you ready for game day. And the truth is, every day is game day. And how are the pastor teachers supposed to prepare you? Primarily by ministering the Word of God, by preaching and teaching. Now, that does not mean that pastor teachers don't pray for you, that we don't do work and labor on your behalf. We absolutely do, and we must. And of course, pastors are to love the sheep, all the sheep, even those that bite. There are some sheep who bite. I've not met many here. In fact, I've not met any here yet who bite. But we are called to love the sheep and tend the sheep. But the Word of God is to be central to the ministry of your pastors, as well as each one of you, of us. We are people of the book. I remember when I was ordained umpteen years ago as a young pastor, my official title became Minister of the Word and Sacrament. Did you know that's what Presbyterians officially we are called? We are ministers of the Word and Sacrament. Now, we only have two sacraments in the Presbyterian Church in our tradition, the Lord's Supper and baptism. But if we did have a third sacrament, it would probably be preaching. For we take the Word of God very, very seriously. And all of that is to say, pastors are to prepare you for service by preaching and teaching the Word of God. And then ideally, you put the Word of God into practice in your life, and we're all the better for it. Look at verse 12. There Paul says that the pastor and teacher are to prepare the people of God for works of service. The word for prepare means to put in order, to restore. It's the same word used for the repairing of fishing nets in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21, where we are told that Jesus saw James and John in a boat preparing their nets. And listen, God wants us to put in order and to restore, or to be restored. He wants our nets ready. You are a net. Some of the nets are a little bit worn and frazzled, but God wants His nets put in order. And that is our task, to prepare you to mend your nets. And we've got some good fishing nets in this church. Some of them need some mending. But we are all in this together. When you became a Christian, when you were saved by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you became part of the team, part of the body of Christ. Now, we talk in the Reformed tradition about the invisible church and the visible church. You became a part of the invisible church. You say, Pastor, what's all that about? The visible church is the church I see right now. I look out and I see a beautiful blend and body of believers. But God alone knows who the true church, the invisible church is, those that belong to Him. And what Paul is saying is that every person who is a part of the church, the body of Christ, has been gifted by the Holy Spirit. In fact, Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Every Christian has received at least one spiritual gift. Now, there are many different gifts. You can read about them in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and in Ephesians 4. But the point is, we are God's gifted people. And life in the body of Christ is all about team ministry. God has not called any one of us to spectate. He has called us to participate. There is something that each one of us has to offer. And let me say how grateful I am to serve a congregation that is actively serving. This is a busy church. But I'm also aware that in most churches, it's 20% of the people doing most of the work. Am I right about that, Bob Glover? Where are you? Yeah, there he is. And what our text from Ephesians is saying to each of us is that we together are to be prepared for work so that we might work. Not just the pastors, not just the elders, not just the paid staff, but all of us, each one of us who are a member of Christ's church. And then Paul tells us that certain things are going to happen when God's people are prepared for service. When our nets are being mended, when we are being restored and put in order, Paul says some things are going to happen. Look at verse 12. He speaks in verse 12 of the body being built up and edified, made strong. Spiritually speaking, God does not want a wimpy, flabby, weak church. He wants a muscular, built up, strong church. Many years ago, I mentored a young man. He was a bodybuilder, a weightlifter. And he wanted a gym at our church down in South Texas. A session said, go for it. So we turned one of our rooms into a gym, became God's gym. Well, Paul is not saying here y'all have to become bodybuilders physically, but he is saying that God wants us spiritually strong. He wants us to get in God's gym and start building ourselves up or being built up by the Spirit of God, and to get stronger as we feed on God's Word. And as we are built up, what comes next? Look at verse 13. Paul refers to unity in the faith. My brothers and sisters, as we are getting our nets put in order, as we are becoming stronger, we are going to be more and more unified in the faith. That's amazing. You see, God loves unity. God is three in one. God is one in three. Can you imagine the persons of the Godhead, the Holy Trinity, sitting in heavenly glory, and the Father saying, I don't know about that, my son. I'm not sure about, and the Son saying, I'm not sure about that plan, Father, and the Holy Spirit rolling his eyes. No, there is perfect unity in the Godhead. God is perfectly united, and his desire for his people is that we be united in him. Can I go so far even to say that God hates disunity? Did you know that? You might be thinking, Pastor, that's a bit strong. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 19, 16 through 19, there are seven things that God says he hates. You know what those seven things are? Pride, lying, murder, wicked scheming, evil doing, falsehood, and troublemaking. That is, people who stir up dissension in the body of Christ. God says, I hate those things. And one of the things I've become convinced of during my years of ministry is that one of the most dangerous things for any church is disunity. Disunity is deadly. That is why Jesus says, a house divided against itself cannot stand. The Lord wants his people united and one. That is his heartbeat in John chapter 17. But Satan's strategy is to divide and conquer. And wherever you find complaining and criticizing and constant grumbling and bitterness and arguing and gossip, whether in the workplace or at home or in a government or in a church, danger is not far off. And disunity will follow. Now, I love the fact that First Presbyterian Church is a united church. Let's guard that precious unity. That doesn't mean uniformity. It doesn't, thank heavens, it doesn't mean we all dress alike or look alike or talk alike. But it does mean where the kingdom of God is concerned, the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And when we are attuned to the Lord, rather than to our own wants and desires, there will be much more unity than division. And just like those pencils I used with the children, when we are together and united, we are strong. But when we get off by ourselves and try to do it our way and think we don't need the corporate body of Christ, we become breakable. We become weak. Ecclesiastes 4 is absolutely true. Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. And a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so the Apostle Paul speaks of us being built up and reaching unity in the faith. And he goes on in verse 13 to speak of knowing the Son of God, Jesus. We have the priceless privilege of knowing Jesus, of walking with Him and talking with Him and listening to Him. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You see, the heart of Christianity, as beautiful as this building is, as wonderful as our history is, this is not the heart of the Christian faith. The heart of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. He is the crucified, resurrected, reigning and returning Lord, and we have the amazing privilege of knowing Jesus. My friend, can I ask you today, are you growing in your knowledge of the Son of God? Do you know Jesus better today than you do or did this time last year? Notice the progression in our text. The Lord gives pastor teachers to the church to prepare the people of God to mend our nets, so that we may be built up and strengthened, united, knowing the Son of God. And then next, here it comes, that we might become mature. In other words, grown up and complete. Now, years ago, the United States Army, do we have any Army vets here? Okay, a handful of you. Years ago, you remember the advertising campaign, "Be all that you can be in the Army." Well, that's the idea in God's Army, the body of Christ. Be all that you can be. God wants His church mature, complete, attaining not to a bare minimum of fullness of Christ, but to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You may remember boot camp. If you went to boot camp and maybe you weren't in the best of shape, by the time those 11 weeks or whatever amount of time was over, you were a lean, mean fighting machine. And then you learned a particular trade, your rankings and whatever in the Navy, or your MOS in the Army. You were growing and learning, and you were becoming stronger. And that's the idea. That's my vision for this battalion. Now, I grew up Army, and I think of things in Army terms. And this is a battalion-sized church. And that's the idea God has for this battalion, that we would grow and be all that we can be here at First Church. What Paul is telling us in Ephesians 4, or more precisely, what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church through the Word of God, is that there is work to do in us and through us. Congregations are not merely to congregate, but to participate, to minister. Each one of us is to put our gifts to work in service to God and to others. It's not just the pastors who are to climb the church steeple and scrape off the pigeon droppings. All of us are in this together. And notice where our text in Ephesians takes us. When we are being built up and united and knowing Jesus and becoming mature, verse 14 says, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves of false teaching." Verse 15 says, "But instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up." We will grow up into Christ, the head of the church. Every time I read Ephesians 4:13, I think of a prayer I learned as a young Christian. It's a prayer I still pray today, and it goes like this: "Lord, fill my head with truth and my heart with love, so that I might speak truth in love." And when our heads are filled with truth, and when our hearts are filled with the love of Jesus, and we are speaking truth wrapped in love, oh, we've gone a long way in growth from infancy to adulthood. And notice in verse 16, Paul says that from Christ, the head of the church, the body is held together. Please underscore or underline that word, together. And grows and builds itself up in love. So as we are doing all of these things and are together, Paul says, and he speaks of being built up in love. Love is vital to what we want to be about here at First Church and what we are about. Can I tell you, love attracts people. Lack of love repels people. People want to go where love is, where the love of God in Christ is very, very present. And that's just like a magnet. It will attract. But where there is lack of love and grumpiness and bitterness and envy and strife and all these other things, that repels. And Paul speaks of building up in love. And notice the last part of verse 16. Paul speaks of the body of Christ not only being built up in love, and here it comes, as each part does its work. So how do we apply all of this? First of all, by determining to be equipped by your leaders for the work that God has for you and me. Be teachable. Be equipable. Allow the Word of God to take deep root in your life. Jesus said, "We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." You will be fed the Word of God here at First Church. So be teachable. Be equipable. Get your nets. Let's get our nets ready as we are being equipped. Second, realize that you are gifted in Christ. Each one of you here, Christian people, you have a spiritual gift. And we need to unwrap those gifts and put them to use. Find out what those gifts are. Study the Scriptures to learn more about them. Let somebody speak into your life who knows you. A wise and trusted counselor who can say, "I recognize this gift in your life, and I affirm that gift." So let's recognize we are gifted, and let's turn those gifts loose in the body. Third, if you want to know more about opportunities here at First Church to become active, please let me know, or Pastor Sonny know, or one of the elders or staff. And I might add, if you are here today and you are ready to get on board with First Church, here comes a commercial message. If you are ready to say, "This is my church, I like what's happening here, I'm on board with the vision of a First Church," I want to invite you right after the service to make your way over to Covenant Hall for some coffee and conversation. And there you'll find a little table. And if you are interested in joining, would you hang around that little table? I'll meet with you as soon as I can. Let's get together. Let's talk about getting on board, joining this church, and become a vital part of the ministry to which God has called you. And don't worry, you won't be asked to climb up that steeple. Nobody's going to ask you to scrape any pigeon droppings off the church building. But my friend, the Lord is up to some wonderful things in you and through you. But He is not finished. There is more preparation for us, more building up, more unity to achieve, more of Jesus to know in a personal and vital way, more maturity to attain. And there are more work opportunities for each one of us. It all begins by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you see yourself and I see myself as the sinner the Bible says I am and we are, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, the adventure is just starting. Then there's work to do, for we have been saved to serve. And there are people who need to know about Jesus. And there are many people just waiting to see His love in action. That's where you come in. That's where we come in. Together. So, are you ready to get your nets ready? I didn't come in here to waste time. I came on board with First Church to hit the ground running with you, because time is short. We have no guarantee for tomorrow. We have today. And it's time to get our nets ready. It's time to be prepared and growing stronger in God's gym. It's time to become more united. It's time to be built up, to know Jesus better and better, and to make a difference for Him in a world in desperate need of the living Christ. That is our mission, and I know we're on board with that. God bless you as we launch into our future together, as we become that lean, mean fighting machine, ready to advance the kingdom of God, as we lift up the name of Christ and show forth His love. And to that, would you say, amen? Let us pray to the Lord. Father, I'm so grateful that You have sent pastor teachers to the body of Christ to equip, to prepare God's people for works of service. And Lord, as all of us together are being prepared and as our nets are being made ready, Lord, we know that then we will begin to grow and go and learn and serve. We will be more united. We will know Jesus more and more. We will be ready to turn this world upside down for Christ. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting all of that to us. And we want to serve you wisely and well, that we might hear on that final day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is our heart's cry and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. Amen. When we are Christians and we try to do things all by ourselves and we think we don't need each other, we're not so strong. And life can break us. But when we are together, when we are joined together in the love of Jesus, and some of us are kind of loose pencils and we drop out there, right? But when we are together, we are strong. We are strong. We need one another. The church, we need each other. I hope you will never forget that you are strong with your family, with your church family. But when we are alone and think that we're strong all by ourselves, we're not as strong as we think. Jesus wants us to be together. He wants his church together. He wants God's people together. I know you're strong, but together you're super strong, right? Isn't that right, Avery? Right, Lila? Right, Kennedy? Would you pray with me? Let's thank God that he's made us strong together. Would you fold your hands? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's talk to the Lord. Would you say with me, girls, out loud, "Dear God, I am strong in you. Lord, let me always be together with my family, my church, because I want to be strong in you. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen."
You have been listening to Grace Matters, brought to you by First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Ocean and Monroe Streets in Jacksonville.